Well, I'd like to welcome everybody for our third trip following a minister, a priest, and a rabbi walking into a TV radio station. My name's Jay Horrigan. Thank you so much for joining us. And I have with us Dr. Pandora Carlucci. How are you?
I'm fine this morning. How are you doing, Jay?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Doing great. Joining Pandora and I today are Reverend Kathy McAdams, Rabbi Tom Albert, and Reverend Eric Cherry. Folks, how are you today?
Great.
Doing wonderful. It's another beautiful blurs day in Southeast Massachusetts.
You all survived the night relatively intact.
I was at the church, and apparently the alarm is going off as we speak because the telephone is down, which is to be expected. That's the way that's supposed to work. But a few families face some challenges, a few folks that really need electric working, and so we're caring in all of those ways. But basically managing okay here.
Yeah, and we had the same thing. The power did go off at the temple, and as of the time we're recording, was still off. And I've had various families who have lost power for substantial periods of time. We were lucky we didn't, but it's been another just interesting thing that the year has thrown upon us.
Right. Like we didn't have enough to work with already.
Right.
We wanted a couple of more monkey wrenches thrown right into it. So
once you're in the midst of a pandemic, what's a little hurricane?
It's a little hurricane, yeah.
Absolutely. And maybe later or on a following show, we can discuss when the locusts will arrive and things like that.
And the frogs, yeah.
The frogs,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you guys, as always, for taking the time, joining us. Pandora and I are just so thrilled to be a part of it. Why don't we just quickly go around and just remind people who you are, what you do, where you're located, so on and so forth. Kathy?
Yes, I'm Reverend Kathy McAdams. I'm the priest at St. John's Episcopal Church.
Reverend Eric?
Yeah, thanks, Jay. I'm Reverend Eric Cherry. I serve as the minister at First Universalist Church in Franklin. And we're doing okay. We're having lay-led worship services on Zoom through the month of August about the sources of Unitarian Universalism, which has been great, and getting ready for Blessing of the Animals over Labor Day weekend, and our social justice task forces are doing good stuff. The food insecurity one is focused on fresh vegetables and fruits for the food pantry, and our welcoming congregation task force is focused on new partnerships with Out Metro West, an organization supporting LGBTQ plus youth in Framingham. And our climate justice task force is helping us to green our meeting house ahead of our return. Our new racial justice task force is developing ways that we can learn and change and remain involved with Franklin-wide racial justice efforts. We're doing okay, and going to be having our week-long summer camp is all virtual and home-based this year. That's going to be starting in about a week, and we're excited about that, and hoping to come up with a long-term, or let's say a seasonal program for faith development with children and youth starting in September that is engaging and fun. That's a work in progress, but that's where we are.
That's great. That you're getting a lot done there. A lot going on. That's great.
I can give a little update about St. John's. I wasn't sure if we were doing that now. We've been worshiping outside on our lawn for a month and trying to work out some of the tech bugs so that people can still participate online as well. If you've tried to join us on Facebook Live, please be patient. Check back again soon. We're installing a Wi-Fi mesh system so that our signal will be stronger, and we're upgrading our mics so that everyone will be able to hear better. advantage of the building closure to install an ADA restroom. It's something we've been wanting to do for years, and it seemed like an opportune time. And our contractor, Don May, did a wonderful job. So stop by and try it out.
Awesome. Wow.
That's great. Rabbi Tom.
Hi, I'm Tom Alpert. I'm a rabbi at Temple Etz Chaim in Franklin, Franklin's only synagogue. It's great to see everybody here again. So let me think, what have we been doing? Well, we've been doing several things. We've been continuing our online services throughout the summer, and I had taken a few weeks, the last 4 weeks I wasn't leading services, so we've had congregants do it, and that's, you know, and it's been fun to see them trying to figure out how to handle this, and they seem to be doing a very good job of it. I was pleased. We're spending a lot of time getting ready for our first ever virtual, well, online High Holy Days, with possibly a couple of in-person aspects as well. So that's been a challenge, and it's been where we've been doing a lot of work. You know, trying to reach out to people as best we can.
It is interesting that all of you talk about some of the things you've been doing as a result of the pandemic. Kathy, you were, you know, just trying to meet outside. Enhance that. So I'd ask all three of you, any other changes or have your plans adjusted from what they were when we first met a couple of months ago?
We're going to continue doing outdoor worship. I don't foresee a time that we'll be gathering indoors. I mean, I'm open to pleasant surprises, but kind of doubt that's going to happen. But we are committed to continuing on Zoom no matter what.
Awesome. That's
praying
great.
Praying for pleasant surprises. I'm right there with you, Kevin, yeah. Kathy. And may they come sooner rather than later. I would say we're sort of settling into a rhythm with the online church and trying to make the most out of the technology so that we're touching people's lives and helping our community. I think the next heavy lift is going to be figuring out how to support the community, families in the community beyond the church as the schools launch the 100% virtual model for in the fall. And I'm so grateful to the administration, the school committee for where they ended up there. I think it's the right decision. And I think the whole community really needs to come out and support students and families given that that new model until the kids are able to get back to school.
Absolutely.
I like hearing about the pleasant surprise reference because you actually have been experienced some pleasant surprises. We did not foresee the use of Zoom or many of these other video conferencing platforms a few months ago. Maybe we had used them a little bit for big meetings at work or for a particular philanthropic organization, but now we're communicating with our families. We're finding ways to worship. We are serving and helping one another in the community. And to your point, Reverend Cherry, that we do need to support one another in town as we make these decisions. We make them with the best information that we have at the time, and then we need to support one another as we walk those steps. So I think there are some pleasant surprises that are gradually emerging, and they're welcomed and appreciated.
Yes, I think that's a really important point. You know, I don't want to make light of how difficult a lot of this is, because it is, and how much of an impact it's had on the people, you know, the illnesses, the job losses, all of that is real. But there are blessings everywhere. You have to just find them. You know, Zoom, there's a lot we lose, but there's some things we gain. And it isn't just that we get more people who couldn't otherwise be there in person. I think it's important to be there, and it is important to support the decisions of our leaders, the considered decisions of our leaders. I know that in our congregation, our religious education is going to be online. And, you know, we miss being together, of course, but we honestly think it's the only way that we can do it that keeps everybody safe and will work for our teachers and our students. And so we're being very creative and trying to figure out how to do that.
I think everything all of you said is just so true. And what Pandora said, you know, pleasant surprise, you know, is I look at this, what we've been able to do, getting all of us together, the five of us together, and letting the three of you talk about various topics or whatever. Without what's going on, I'm not so sure that would have happened. Certainly wouldn't happen in the way we're doing it now. It might have happened, might have been a one-time thing. So I would throw that in also as a pleasant surprise. And then also another one, I came home yesterday. My wife had brand new curtains because we're both on so many Zoom calls. She wants to make it look better. So that's exciting.
Well, so this is the timeless spiritual practice of counting our blessings.
And, absolutely.
It's easy to, you know, to miss some of them, but maybe COVID is asking us to be more attentive and to really count them. And it's great that in some ways we are.
And to find things that are different than what we always assumed before the whole pandemic thing and all that. So that's great. Great information from you folks. Appreciate it.
We have been going through the pandemic for several months, and now we've gone from winter through spring. Now we're into summer. And our summer looks a little bit different than normal summers. But it normally, summer is a time of reflection. It's a time to kind of refresh our lives as somewhat follow an agrarian society, and we're looking forward to going in high gear in the fall. But during the summer, we can take those moments to ourselves, and especially now, we might go outside and we might just sit, or we might take walks. We could be in our garden, and I think there are a number of different ways to refresh and rejuvenate, or we're struggling with refreshing and rejuvenating and perhaps having a hard time with that. And so we were thinking about wondering how we all here are doing with that, how your congregations are handling summer, the transition time, refreshing and moving forward to the fall. So I'll open it up with Reverend Eric. Do you want to share some thoughts with us?
Oh, sure. I think it's such an important topic. And often it's the case that people kind of get into a pattern of how they refresh, how they rejuvenate during the summer or in any other times. And so much of that is just through the window right now that it can be kind of confusing and it's an uncertain, the path is uncertain in some special ways this summer. For myself, the summer has often in the past been Zooming, not online, but literally Zooming here, there, to the other place. And, you know, in my my previous work, the summer was prime travel time. And by travel, I'd often have to get extra pages put into my passport, that kind of travel. And when I was doing that, I would, often tell people that, you know, regardless of where I am, I'm at heart, I'm a homebody. And what I'm finding during this COVID summer is that really is true. And I wouldn't have planned it this way. I never could have come up with the idea that staying close to home as a rejuvenation strategy would make sense. But it turns out that it is. And so, you know, my mind turns to how we come up with Sabbath strategies and follow them, even if they're different than what we've used in other summers or in other parts of our lives.
I think you're right. I know, looking personally into my life, trying to see what I can do. I can't go out and visit an elderly parent. But how can I reach across the miles to keep him going? And how can I be a fresh voice to him? And so you're right, as we interact with one another and try to get back to our communities and try to get back to our families while still keeping ourselves healthy and focused, it's a different pathway.
taking care of ourselves or embracing that Sabbath lesson helps us to be better caregivers, to be better family members. And, you know, for members of our families that are living in senior housing or nursing homes or in hospitals, the rest of us really do need to be at our best, our best selves. This is a struggle for everybody, but for folks, those situations, my gosh, it falls to existence rather than living in so many ways. And we need to be able to be a part of helping get through. Yeah. And Sabbath is a part of that.
Reverend Kathy.
Yeah.
About St. John's, how are things going there?
Good. I think people are managing to find some Sabbath moments, even if they're in different ways. I myself had some vacation and retreat and continuing education plan for the summer, but it was all canceled due to the pandemic. I'd still like to try to get away for a short time, maybe to the Cape or a neighboring state, not Rhode Island. I'm really a believer and a practitioner in the biblical concept of Sabbath. I see it as a gift from God to simply stop, whether it's weekly or daily or monthly or even annually, just to set aside some time as holy and special, to be quiet with God and to be refreshed and to recreate ourselves and our relationships. But that being said, I haven't had a lot of that during the pandemic. I feel like I've just been working harder than ever to learn new technology and to make it possible for my whole congregation and others in the community to stay connected. Similarly, in my other job as a hospice chaplain, we were doing telehealth visits for a while. And so again, new technology, but now we're back to in-person visits with various types of PPE, and that takes time and energy as well. In addition, my spouse had some surgery a few weeks ago, so I've been caring for her. She's recovering well. And I've been trying to do some projects around the home and the barn. I built a swale on the road recently, but I'm having trouble getting some of the materials I need, like fence panels, due to pandemic work slowdowns. So even as I'm trying to get some of those projects completed, there are roadblocks. As soon as Ellen is well, I plan to get back on my horse, which is a great source of pleasure and relaxation, but I just can't take the chance that we'd both be out of commission at once. So no risky behaviors right now. But as I said, I do hope to take some time away at some point. It may be September by the time that happens.
Wow. You have been doing so much leading your congregation and personally with some of the projects that you had. That's... it's overwhelming.
It is.
But he needs to take a dose of their own Sabbath medicine, Reverend Kathy.
Yeah, that's right. I know.
Rabbi Tom, I know that this is a rejuvenating time for you because you shared with us at the last conversation about a retreat that you normally would take that in person that you took online. And you've also shared with us at the beginning of this conversation, the High Holy Days are coming up in a few weeks. How is all of that resting with you?
Resting is an interesting term. it's interesting for Jewish clergy, the summertime's always a slightly schizoid period because on the one hand, things tend to be a little quieter in the synagogues, and people do travel and they go places and they take their time off. On the other hand, gigantic amount of work are coming up in September or October, depending on the year. Anyway, early in the fall, and they just sort of are coming at you. And so there's this mix of, on the one hand, you're sort of trying to relax. On the other hand, you've got all these things to start planning. Well, this year it is. It's that in spades because, of course, no one in the world just about has ever done a completely online High Holy Days and trying to figure this out, this moment when it's the one time in the year when the vast majority of Jews have a connection with the synagogue life and trying to figure out how to do that while at the same time feeling the need for Shabbat, for a Sabbath, for that that rest. It is a secular version of this that Justice Louis Brandeis told when he was still practicing law, which is, I can get 12 months work done in 11 months, but I can't do it in 12. And I think it's true. We all need, you know, there are all kinds of spiritual reasons for a Sabbath, but there are also very practical reasons. We, in the same way, we need sleep, we need to rest, we need to rejuvenate. So it's been an interesting question of how to balance it. What we'd have done, and what my wife and I did, was we got away this the week that just finished, and got out to Western Massachusetts and rented a place and went canoeing and hiking and had all of those kinds of experiences. And it was great. Even saw a few people socially distanced who we, you know, otherwise might not have seen. So all of that has been extremely helpful, and I'm feeling, you know, refreshed and ready to get into all the things that we need to keep doing. I know from my congregants that some of them are able to get away, and they've been doing so very responsibly from what I've seen. I've been very pleased about that. And I hope people can find that space, because I really, really do think that we need it, and that indeed it's the only way we're going to get done the things we need to get done.
I just want to agree with you on that, Rabbi Tom, and say that that feels to me like a really important message for all of us right now. And, you know, I think you'd probably agree that we do not have to become Zen masters about this, right? I mean, it's okay if the way that we lean into Sabbath is incremental, you know, if it's a step here, a step there, even if it's not, you know, a full change in lifestyle, to take an incremental step into rest and to Sabbath during the COVID time is worthwhile. And, you know, just like in the Lenten journey in Christianity, it doesn't necessarily have to be to stop doing something that you take pleasure in. It can be a change in how a person is in their neighborhood or in their home or you know, what happens between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. in the morning. Is that, you know, a frenetic time or is that a ramping up time? And where is the holy in those moments? Look, we can find Sabbath in reading a book for a half hour on a porch, or in, you know, watching the hummingbirds that so many people enjoy doing during this time of year, but doing that incrementally during the time of COVID is enough, and so I really wish that for everyone.
I agree, Eric. I think we can find those, set aside those moments in a new kind of ritual, as you said, whether it's a few moments a day or, we can establish new rhythms,
yeah,
which I'm going to try to do.
I agree with both of you. And I'd also add, one of my teachers, Rabbi Larry Kushner, who used to be up in Sudbury, made the comment, look, fine, do what you're going to do, but all through the Sabbath, remember that it's the Sabbath. Just be aware. And I think that's really important. It is that the one thing we cannot do is give up our idea that we have this time of rest, that we have this time of reflection. And even if we aren't necessarily going to do it to some Platonic ideal, at least we're going to do it as best we can, which really is how we live our lives anyway.
I thought all of that was very well said, very, very well communicated. One thing though, I the kind of, with you guys talking, it triggered with a lot of this stuff being done remote. Do you find participation different, same amount? Are you getting more people active on different things You know, Reverend Eric, you have what sounded like about 27 different committees going on. Reverend Kathy, you've redone the ADA entrance for your place. Do you guys see a different or the same kind of level of involvement?
I've seen an increase in at least worship attendance, partly, I think, because if you count the in-person and the remote attendance, you don't have to only participate at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And once it's on Facebook, it's on Facebook, and people can view that anytime during the week. So I find that our, you know, when I look at how many views we have, it's much higher than the number of people that would normally be in church.
I would say that for us, it kind of varies. The summer is definitely a slower time traditionally at First Universalist, and so worship is always, we always take a dip in worship attendance during the summer. It's a little higher than past summers this year, but on track with our typical yearly pattern. I also think that, you know, for all of us, we're sort of facing the reality of that becoming Zoom tired is a real thing, and you know, dealing with that is maybe one of the next challenges that's in front of us. I certainly get Zoom tired, and I, you know, fully understand that other people do too. For the sake of this radio show, I want to say, look, if finding your Sabbath doesn't include our weekly worship service, that's all right with me. Find your Sabbath, and if communal worship can help, fantastic. But more importantly, the message today is all of us need that Sabbath time in order to be our better selves, caring for ourselves as well as the people that we're connected with.
Yeah, I completely agree with what both of my friends have said. This is, you know, we certainly notice there's always a decline in the summertime, partially because, like the other houses of worship, our place is an air conditioned. So for people to be able to stay home with the AC on, it's so terrible for many of them. They're not complaining. Actually, I'm not complaining. You know, but yes, I think that the Zoom presents serious limitations to how long people can stay on and how much total Zoom you can do. And so just something we're thinking about very seriously for High Holy Days. It's, you know, we're used to long services. Jewish services are not short. And so trying to figure out how to do that for particularly long services at the High Holidays is a fascinating question. And the other thing that's interesting on Zoom is I think that people are tend to be a bit more hesitant to talk. And so trying to find ways to encourage participation has been another thing that we're still trying to work on.
As Rabbi Tom had mentioned earlier, there are some advantages as well. There's, you know, we can include recorded music or videos or things like that that we don't have the technology currently to do in a live worship service. In thinking about Zoom as opposed to, say, Facebook or some other live streaming services, people can really participate more fully remotely. So we can have, you know, someone in their living room doing the scripture readings or leading the prayers or things like that, which on other platforms, it seems like it's more of a one-way experience.
Yeah, I would think that is really significant in terms of people feeling maybe more comfortable to participate, or it's easier for them because they're in a normal setting. The setting they're in six other days a week. See, I've even lost count of the number of days in a week. That's great. That's great. And I appreciate all of your insights in this. It is always a learning experience when we get to talk to you. As we kind of wrap things up here, is there any kind of reflection, prayer, anything like that you'd like to kind of pass along?
Sure. This is Rabbi Tom Alpert, so I think I'll do that if I could.
Awesome.
Each week, as Jews, we read a section of the Torah, the first five books of Moses. And the week we've just finished, we read from Deuteronomy that included the retelling of the Ten Commandments. And in the Ten Commandments, one of the central ones, one of the ten, therefore one of the central ones, is the commandment for the Sabbath. And it's got two different versions in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. You're supposed to keep the Sabbath and observe the Sabbath. And keep and remember, I'm sorry, keep the Sabbath and remember the Sabbath. And the Jewish tradition has said that what those mean is that we are supposed to refrain from doing work, and we're also supposed to actively live Sabbath. And I think those are both important lessons for us at this time. We need to take our breaks. We need to take our time where we're just not doing every other daily thing, where we're taking something and setting it aside, keeping it holy. And we also need to fill that time that we take with its own holiness, with its own joy, so that we can have that reservoir of joy to bring through into the rest of the week. So both keep and observe are part of what Shabbat, what Sabbath, what this thing we've been talking about are all about.
Those are beautiful words, and I thank you for sharing them with us. It gives us something to bring into our lives, to think, and to call upon as we go through the upcoming weeks. Once again, Jay and I would very much like to thank Reverend Kathy, Reverend Eric, and Rabbi Tom. We know that you have busy schedules, but you make this time for a conversation each month, and we appreciate it. And as Jay always says when he closes out, to be kind to one another, Franklinites, and embracing Rabbi Tom's words, fill it with joy. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you so much.